So, Jessica Klenka, you must be pretty busy preparing for your first Iditarod right now. What are your preparations looking like, and what do you have to do?
Yep, we're pretty busy right now this time of the year. We got our food drops off last week, so all the food for me and the dogs and everything we're going to need on the trail was delivered to Anchorage last week and then is being shipped out on the trail. So we sent out 2,000 pounds of dog food and people food and gear. So that's a huge relief. That's over. Now we're just doing our final training runs and packing the sled and figuring out just little extra things here and there that I might need on the trail for me.
What are you feeding your dogs?
What are we feeding our dogs? Well, we sent out chicken skin, beef, lots and lots of salmon. We cut up salmon into little hockey puck-sized snacks for the dogs. We feed them red paw dog food, kibble. They also get some beef liver. And then we do some pork bellies as well. So they get lots of meat out there.
Not that I was stalking you on Facebook at all, but I did see that you seem to have gotten a last-minute gift of salmon, too. You were cutting up salmon strips.
Yep. So my brother works for a company down in Sitka that's sponsoring us this year and has been sending us a lot of salmon for the dogs, which is wonderful because it's their favorite treat on the trail.
So tell me about your team. Who are your leaders, and how long have you been training them for this Iditarod?
Yeah, so my lead dogs for this race are Radar, who is actually a dog who is from Myron Anksman. She's a young dog that we got from Myron a couple years ago. And then our other lead dog is Stella, who's from Pete Kaiser and is more of a veteran and has ran with Pete a few times in the Iditarod. And we've been training all year. We started training in early September. On four-wheelers with the team, and then have slowly transitioned to snow. We like Bethel, had a lot of the winter where we were praying for snow, but just here in the last month, we've gotten a ton of snow. Actually, so much snow that now it's okay if it stops for a little bit. We've been breaking trail every time we go on our runs. The snow here is probably sort of mid-thigh for me, so deep snow. And it sounds like that's what the rest of the Iditarod trail is like, too, right now. It sounds like there's a lot of snow on the trail.
You must be happy to hear that.
Yes. Yep. Super happy to hear that there's good snow. It'll make areas like doing the gorge and the steps a lot more passable when there's snow. So that's nice to hear for my rookie year.
Well, I know nothing about sled dog racing or training. So when you say these last, what does an average training run look for you? And then as you're talking about last minute runs, you know, what does that look like in comparison? Are you tapering off training to keep them rested? Walk me through that.
Yeah, and so it's my rookie year, so I'm still a little bit, you know, it's my first time preparing for a 1,000-mile race. For smaller races, we've definitely done a lot of tapering in the past, but tapering an Iditarod team is a little bit different, so we're still doing about four-hour runs right now for them at this point. Throughout the winter, we've done anywhere from 2 to 10 hour runs, but majority of them are around 4 to 6 hours that we're out there running.
And you have a full-time job as a vet.
I do. Yep.
What is that like training for the Iditarod, balancing a full-time job, your husband? Then you came out for the K300 to be a vet. What is that like? How do you do that?
Yep, it's wild. I don't know if I recommend it. Very busy, very tired a lot of the time. I'm at work right now on my lunch break. But no, it's worked out really nice. My work has been really good about letting me take the time off for Iditarod. and the clients have been really understanding that I'm going to be on the trail, so they're all excited to follow. And my younger sister, Joan, has come down in the last little bit to help me with the dog. So she's been at home helping. She cut meat for probably 4 days for us in preparation for food drops. But yeah, just busy, tired. It's been good.
What are your goals for Iditarod just beyond completing it? Do you have like a training goal you've been working with the dogs that you want to see them accomplish? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So obviously I'd really like to make it to Nome. That's my first goal. And then the next goal, you know, I do have a really nice dog team. It's the best dog team I've ever driven. So I'm really impressed by them. And my other goal would be to to race them to the best of their abilities, that they are just a really happy, healthy, good-looking team at the finish line, but know that I did race them a little bit. And so my first year, I'm going out there with a very conservative schedule to make sure that I learn how to get to know them, get all of us there. But it would be nice if they're looking good, you know, later on in the race, to maybe change up our schedule a little bit. We'll just have to see how the dogs do in the conditions. But we're going to start out very conservative and see how it goes. It's a long ways, so we won't be racing the first little bit. We'll be pretty conservative.
So you grew up mushing. Like, your family is just dog crazy, to put it mildly. How old, you say this is the best team you've ever mushed before. What was the first team you've ever mushed in a race, and what was that like?
I'm pretty sure I was like 4 or 5, and I did the one dog race that the Key 300 used to sponsor, or maybe the Sunday fun runs. And so you could do a one dog race. So that was my first race, probably, that I did with our old lead dog Boots. But then my first real actual camping race was the K300 sponsored campout race when I was in seventh grade. I did that race, and I'm pretty sure I either got last place or second to last, but I got around the trail and camped with my dog. So we've come a long ways since back then.
How old were you when you ran your first race?
Probably 4 years old.
So 4, and then your first like camping race, I guess it was my...
seventh grade, so 14.
Okay, 14. So what past experiences have gotten you to this place, running your first Iditarod at 29 years old, 28?
28.
Okay. I couldn't remember. I knew you were my age, and I knew we discussed it, and I was like, she's 28 or 29. Yep. But regardless, we're the same age.
I'm about to have a birthday, so I'm going to say I'm 28 for the last week here. What past experiences? Definitely all the races out in Bethel. I mean, I've done multiple Bogus Creek 150s when there's been no snow on the trail, you know, trying to cross the river on the way to Tulixac in the wind. Just a lot of good driving experience growing up in Bethel in a town that cultivates dog mushing. And so I think I really got my racing experience growing up in Bethel. I was really lucky to grow up somewhere where we do have a lot of races and a lot of experienced mushers. You know, there's all so much dog people in Bethel at all the races. So you get to be around people who teach you how to race. So that's what I would say.
So who are the people that mentored you? And when you're preparing for the Iditarod, who do you call the most besides your mom?
Myron, Pete Kaiser, has been really, really helpful this year. I can text him different questions when things come up, because, I mean, there's just things that you don't know for a 1,000-mile race. So definitely I've done some texting. They've been really, really great to help me. And then some of the mushers around here in the area, a couple different mushers who've ran Iditarod a few times. We have a friend, Dave Delcourt, who's really good. He can tell me, you know, this checkpoint's going to have water for you. This one won't have water. You're going to have to melt snow. Everybody sends ice to this checkpoint because there is no snow. Mushers have been really open and pretty good about offering advice, but probably Pete has given me the most advice.
Who are your sponsors?
Who are my sponsors? Well, my biggest sponsor is my brother, who has shipped us all of the salmon to help feed the dogs this winter. And then we have other sponsors. The Arctic Vet is a friend of mine who has a large animal veterinary practice. She sponsored us. And then we have a brand new sponsor who just contacted us called Smart Stop. They're a self-storage company, and it looks like they're going to be one of our big sponsors this year as well, but mostly self-sponsored through working and my husband and I. Forgot a very big sponsor. The K300 race committee is also sponsoring us this year. That we just got our sponsor letter from them.
Well, that's fantastic. And yeah, you still have to run the K300 though.
I know. Yep.
Will that be a goal next year? Maybe will we see you on the trail, or will, if I'm lucky to get up to Tulixac again, will I get to hang out with you as a vet?
Yeah. There's definite possibility that'll happen. We're taking it one day at a time right now. Everybody keeps asking, like, okay, what are your goals for next year? It's like, this year, I just got to get to Nome right now.
Which brother is your big sponsor? You have a few brothers.
Oh, yep. I have three brothers. All of my brothers help us, but Jeremiah is the one who's works down in Sitka and has been able to send us the fish. That's been good. But all of my siblings have helped. We had Christmas here at our house, and everybody ran dogs. Jordan, the youngest, Klaika, ran her own dog teams. She ran a four-dog team while she was here. My brother Jesse went on multiple 40-mile training runs. Jeremiah did a 100-mile camp with us. They all went out on the trail and helped run dogs this winter.
I mean, that's kind of your family. I believe there's seven of you.
Yep, I'm the oldest of seven.
Yep, there's seven of you. So it's just like, oh, I grew up in a big family too, the oldest of five. So it's like all hands on deck when one sibling is about to do something monumentous. That must be great to have that kind of support.
Yes, yep, it's been awesome. Joni's been a huge help this year. She's with me right now. She's at home taking care of all the dogs while I work. I have two more days of work, and then it's just all preparations for Iditarod.
So how do you feel about it? I mean, what are the emotions you must be going through right now? I know I would be, like, consumed with anxiety and, like, dreaming and fantasizing. Like, what are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I'm alternating between, a lot of nervousness, but then also a lot of excitement. And then somewhat I'm just like, okay, let's get on the trail. I've been preparing for this for a long time. So the last 2 days I've been pretty calm. And just sort of ready to get out there. You know, food drops was a huge hurdle to plan. I had to plan where I'm going to do all my snacking and camping on the trail and where I'm going to take my 24-hour layover. And so with that out of the way, that's really nice. So it's been really relaxed the last few days. But, yeah, definitely waking up. I mean, I've had dreams where I'm waking up and I'm, like, in Rainy Pass and I've slept through my alarm and it's, like, been 24 hours and I'm still there. So I've had some funny dreams.
So how can we stay updated on your progress beyond just the tracker? I know you've got a blog. I thoroughly enjoy reading your blog.
Oh, thank you. So we have our website is tailwindkennels.com. Hopefully my husband will do some updates on there while I'm on the trail. The Iditarod Insider is really good at keeping track. It's worth it to watch the trackers. That way you have access to see where we're at. And I know in years past I've watched the tracker and been like, why aren't they moving? But if that's me, I'm probably just camping with the dogs. Those are probably going to be the two best. And then Kaiser Racing always has really good coverage of our local mushers as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your insanely busy schedule to talk to me. I look forward to cheering you on from afar. Best of luck.
Thanks, Christy.